This is Terry Bush reading the News Gazette for Saturday, May 17 and Sunday, May 18. We start on the first page with a headline, Missing Their Stop. Social service agencies caught up in route dispute between MTD, Marketplace Mall. The Salvation Army of Champaign County's Social Services Center, near the corner of North Market Street and Wilbur Avenue, provides a variety of services: emergency financial assistance, support and case management for veterans, multiple programs that equip individuals with the skills to succeed beyond their current circumstances, according to Captain Kenyon Civils. The largest magnet of all of our services, Captain Civils said, is our food pantry, where we see roughly 300 people daily for our food services. And some of the people who need that help the most also depend on public transit, which means they could be adversely affected by a recent disagreement between the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District and nearby Marketplace Mall. Under a proposed new route plan, the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District bus stop at Market View Drive and North Market Street would be the closest stop for those needing to visit to social service agencies about a quarter mile up the road on Market Street. Carl Ned, managing director of CUMTD, said, "We've gotten some fairly strenuous feedback from the Salvation Army and the Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center, and so we are kind of scrambling, trying to take another look at things. But we're in a situation where we can get a bus to them. The problem is getting the bus back." Under the current proposal, those using the MTD to get to the Salvation Army facility or neighboring Pregnancy Resource Center would have to get off at the stop at the corner of East Market View Drive and North Market Street, roughly a quarter of a mile away from these locations. Nat said, "This is normal walking distance to and from a bus stop in the transit industry, but the Salvation Army serves some at-risk populations." He added that the change would also pose a difficulty to a pregnant woman walking that distance in 90-degree heat or a snowstorm. "I want to be sensitive to that," Ned said, "but at the same time, our option to turn the bus around has been taken away from us." Brandy Pierce, who spoke on behalf of Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center and its Mercy's Refuge residential program, said many clients are in tough personal situations, pregnant or pushing children in strollers when they visit the North Market Street location. "The changes would triple the length they need to walk, thereby creating a barrier to accessing free medical care, parenting classes, material assistance, and residential care," she said. "I've seen our community work diligently throughout the years to care deeply and equip those in difficult life situations. This decision doesn't seem to be in alignment with our community's values of helping others accomplish their goals or treating others in a fair, courteous, and equitable manner." Civils likely said his organization's heart is breaking for its clients, who are the true victims in the situation. "We deeply value the tenacity and resilience of those we serve. However, expecting individuals, especially those with mobility challenges, parents with young children or who are pregnant, the elderly, veterans, and others who may be considered vulnerable, to walk that far while struggling to carry a full cart's worth of groceries in unfavorable weather condition undermines their dignity and humanity." MTD officials previously said in March that it would no longer provide fixed route service to the mall once the new service year begins, August 10. Deputy Managing Director Amy Snyder said at the time that the mall had asked the MTD to stop service to its property after it refused to enter an agreement regarding road maintenance. The mall's management previously asked the MTD in fall 2023 to pay a $1,500 monthly fee to help maintain pavement on the property, But the MTD board was adamantly opposed to the idea, which had also been raised the year before, Nat said at the time. He told the News Gazette that the mall's latest request was for the same amount. He added that this proposal is not a sustainable model for any transit system. Nat said, Marketplace Mall tried to extort money out of us to pay for the maintenance they are responsible for. And we are. We are delivering customers and their employees to their location, and they wanted us to pay for the privilege to bring their employees and their customers to their facility. So our board declined to do that, and this is like a mafia hit. But mall owner Brookfield Properties said it never asked the Mass Transit District to stop service at our shopping center. We are disappointed with this false, disparaging narrative, company officials told the News Gazette. For many years, our property has taken a serious toll from the heavy equipment, and our pavement now requires constant repair. We asked for their partnership in finding a solution to help maintain our property while still providing this benefit to the community. They've declined all offers in working together on this matter. Under the proposed route changes, passengers traveling to the mall would get off at the southern entrance to the property at North Neal Street and Center Drive near the former Zaz and Old Chicago restaurants. One silver lining, Nat said, is that ending service to the mall enables the MTD to provide better service to Walmart in Champaign and the Ashland Park subdivision just to its north, as well as the Meijer in southeast Urbana. The MTD is also proposing changes to morning and afternoon trips for local middle and high school students due to both the mall issue and the opening of Urbana's new 6th grade center. Transit officials said they are confident these routing and schedule changes will improve schedule adherence for many school trips. In some respects, it improves the service to areas not to the Salvation Army and Pregnancy Resource Center to at-risk populations, Nat said. In discussing alternative ways to serve North Market Street, Nat said driving through Wilbur Heights isn't feasible due to the poor quality of roads in that area. He said the only realistic option would be to go up to Mercury Drive in the Apollo Drive industrial area. Every rider then has to go to the Apollo subdivision off of Mercury Drive, even if they don't want to, and that's 10 minutes out of their way, Nat said, adding that the increase in time would likely result in low ridership on one of our most productive routes and cut it off at the knees. The public input period on proposed route changes opened May 4 and closes tonight. Community members can comment by contacting the MTD at 217-384-8188. Again, contacting the MTD on proposed route changes, 217-384-8188. The next MTD board meeting, currently set for May 28, will include a discussion regarding the North Market Street area, Nat said. He estimated that there are about 2 weeks left before the agency needs to have its final routes ready so the map and schedule book can be printed. This information also has to be incorporated into other work that goes on behind the scenes at the MTD before the new service year begins in August. Nat said it's a lot of work for us and we're running out of time. Pierce said that the Pregnancy Resource Center and Salvation Army have spoken with the MTD in hopes of finding a win-win solution of continued service to our organizations. Unfortunately, that solution hasn't been discovered yet, leaving the vulnerable clients of the Salvation Army, Pregnancy Resource Center, and Mercy's Refuge caught in the middle of the impasse between Marketplace Mall and MTD, and the ones that will be impacted the most. Civil said the Salvation Army has also spoken with mall management about the issue. Both parties seem to be at an impasse, and we strongly urge them to consider those people that will be impacted by this decision, he said. Next, we turn to Kathy's mailbag, a regular feature in which Kathy Reeser answers reader questions. I've had my Champaign County property taxes on auto pay for years, with installments debited from my checking account on the due dates. I understand those long-standing arrangements are no longer valid. What's up with that? Champaign County Treasurer and Collector Byron Clark confirmed that automatic bank drafts are no longer an option for property tax payments in Champaign County. He said this change was made by the previous administration, and taxpayers were notified of it in the tax year 2023 insert that went out with last year's bills. Clark said, while we know this was a popular option for some residents, continuing the program is simply not feasible under our current staffing levels. The system required a significant amount of manual oversight and corrections, and the volume we're handling, we don't have the capacity to process those payments reliably or efficiently. That said, we're continuing to offer a range of flexible payment options, including online, in person, and by mail. Property owners who prefer to pay with a check sent by U.S. mail may have noticed that two different mailing addresses are printed on the back of each of this year's payment coupons, one in Urbana and one in Springfield. The Urbana addresses listed on the coupons are primarily for benefit of those paying in person, but Clark said payments may be mailed there as well. The payment coupon for the first installment lists his office's current location at 1776 East Washington Street in the Brookings Administrative Center. The second installment's coupon reflects the planned move to the Bennett Administrative Center, 102 East Main Street, effective July 1. As for the P.O. Box in Springfield, Clark said that address has been used for years and continues to serve as our official mailing address for payments. It's tied to our third-party processing partner and remains the most efficient and secure way to ensure timely posting. Most importantly, payments sent to either the Springfield Post Office box or our Urbana offices will be processed without issue, and we will receive and process payment no matter where they are sent. For mail-in payments, we do recommend using the Springfield address. Participating local banks are also an option for paying Champaign County property tax bills. More than two dozen banks and credit unions with a location in Champaign County are authorized collector banks. The first installment of 2024 property taxes is due on or before June 5, and the second and final installment is due on or before September 5. Another reader writes, recently, CN seems to be using the Bradley Avenue crossing as part of the rail yard. Why has the frequency and length of closures at Bradley skyrocketed over the past 2 to 3 years? This exchange with a reader began several weeks ago after we answered another reader's mailbag question about train-related backups on Market Street, about a quarter mile west of the Bradley Avenue crossing. I've worked on Oak Street near Canadian National's Champaign Yard for the past 40 years. At times, the train cars stay stalled until a worker on foot exits the train and makes switches while traffic on Bradley languishes. There's certainly been a greater inconvenience to the traveling public in recent years. The reader also mentioned rush hour backups on Bradley and noted it's a rough situation for working families in this neighborhood, and this is not a rare occurrence. Kathy writes, CN Railroad spokesperson Michelle Hannon told me there's been no recent change in operations at this location. The schedule of trains in one area fit into a much broader network that requires round-the-clock synchronized operations that are vital to the nation's economy. Based on our scheduling commitment to our customers, transporting products from one end of the continent to the other, we operate our railroad 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Hannon said members of the public who have concerns about the railroad's operation may contact the CN Public Inquiry Line at 1-888-888-5909. That number again, the CN Public Inquiry Line, 1-888-888-5909, or by email at contact@cn.ca. Again, the email address, contact@cn.ca. Kathy writes, I also checked in with Kaylee Baker of the Illinois Commerce Commission, which has some, but not total, regulatory authority over railroad safety in Illinois. She said the only Federal Railroad Administration and Surface Transportation Board have the authority to address blocked crossings. She said the ICC does not have regulatory authority over blocked crossings in Illinois, and in 2008, the Illinois Supreme Court ruled that the statute prohibiting rail carriers from blocking crossings is unconstitutional and preempted by federal law. Baker added that while the ICC does not have authority over blocked crossings, we still recommend that complaints be filed with both the Federal Railway Administration and our agency. ICC staff review FRA data and these complaints to identify specific crossings and railroads and work with the railroads, FRA, municipalities, highway agencies, metropolitan planning organizations, school districts, etc., to determine actions that could mitigate the blockages. This could include the railroad voluntarily changing operations or rules, conducting safety events, or building new infrastructure. Baker said the ICC will follow up with CN on their current operations. The ICC is aware of the City of Champaign's efforts to study the location for a possible grade separation project. Federal funding was secured earlier this year. The ICC's Crossing Safety Improvement Program provides assistance to highway agencies and railroads for similar bridge and rail crossing safety projects around Illinois. Next, a reader wrote, I understand the I-5774 interchange is being rebuilt to eliminate the cloverleaf design, which has circular ramps that result in a lot of tip-over accidents. So why were only two flyover ramps built, with two circular ramps remaining? IDOT engineer Kensel Garnett said the two new circular ramps have larger radii than the old ones. It wasn't so much the circular shape of the ramps that posed problems. It was their tight radii. He said the larger ramps will be much safer and easier for drivers to negotiate. The two flyover ramps were built to eliminate two small geometrically deficient inner loop ramps that were at the southeast and northwest quadrants of the old interchange configuration. The other two small geometrically deficient inner loop ramps from the northeast and southwest quadrants of the old interchange configuration are being replaced with ramps on a much larger radius that will allow large and small vehicles alike to navigate them more easily. Garnett added eliminating two of the inner loop ramps eliminates the weaving movements, where two adjacent inner loop ramps merge along either I-57 or I-74 with traffic exiting and entering either interstate in very close proximity. If we were to have used two more flyover ramps and bridges, that would mean we would have two more levels of bridges stacked above what we are currently constructing. This would put the tallest bridge twice as high as the tallest bridge we are constructing, and it would not be possible to geometrically tie in these ramps within the constraints of the Mattis Avenue bridges over both interstates and the U.S. Route 150 bridge over Route 57. These tall structures would be difficult to construct and maintain. This would also give the interchange a much larger footprint with more impacts to the surrounding area. Next, a reader writes, driving by Memorial Stadium the other day, I noticed that all of the pine trees behind the horseshoe have been removed. Any idea why? U of I Facilities and Services spokesperson Steve Breitweiser said the white pines southeast of the horseshoe at Memorial Stadium were in declining health. Two dead trees were removed last year as a safety precaution, and the set on the southwest side was beginning to show similar symptoms, which also necessitated their removal. The campus tree replacement policy requires auxiliary units to install replacement trees for those that are removed. The Division of Intercollegiate Athletics will be planting similar types of trees there in the future, which will help reestablish tree canopy coverage in that area. Next, a reader writes, any update on the Hope Village Tiny Homes project for people who are medically fragile and have no permanent home? Kathy writes, big yellow earth movers were doing their thing this week at the Hope Village site off of Federal Drive in Urbana, just north of Champaign's Carver Park subdivision. Claudia Lenhoff, executive director of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, said construction of the homes is about to begin. We anticipate that most of the construction should be completed by the end of this year. We anticipate starting to accept residents around the end of this year or by early next year, assuming that construction proceeds more or less on schedule. We'll be able to provide updates to the community a bit later this year. The project is a collaboration among Carle Health, Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, and the U of I, with grants from the State of Illinois and City of Urbana. Next, a reader writes, I see signs near the U of I campus about a Lincoln Avenue corridor study. Is it too late to participate? Kathy replies, that depends on what the reader means by participate. The Champaign County Regional Planning Commission is now accepting feedback on the study's final recommendations for the stretch of Lincoln Avenue between Green Street and Florida Avenue in Urbana. Most of the planning process took place in 2023 and 24. The CCRPC website says the overarching goal of the study was to identify ways to increase transportation safety, mobility, and multimodal connectivity in this high-priority north-south corridor bridging the City of Urbana and the U of I campus. The final recommendations include constructing on-street bike lanes on both sides of Lincoln Avenue for the entire length of the corridor, reconfiguring the Lincoln Avenue roadway to three lanes, one lane in each direction, plus a center left turn lane, and rehabilitating the entire roadway, converting Oregon and Iowa streets to solely right turn out, and Indiana Avenue to solely eastbound turn in, converting Nevada Street and Vermont Avenue access from the east to solely right turn in, right turn out, converting and consolidating all crosswalks outside of signalized intersections into mid-block crossings with rapid rectangular flashing beacons, adjusting signal timing along the corridor to accommodate roadway changes, relocating Lincoln Avenue bus stops between Iowa and Ohio Street and the northbound bus stop at Oregon Street. The study's full report and recommendations are available online at ccrpc.org/Lincoln. Again, that URL, ccrpc.org/Lincoln. Deadline to offer feedback is May 30. Next, a reader writes, in the paper a few weeks ago, I saw a call for bids to purchase the Illinois National Guard Armory in Champaign. Why is the property being sold? Kathy replies, Major William Dutch Grove with the Illinois National Guard confirmed that the Illinois Department of Military Affairs is accepting bids on the armory at the southwest corner of Park and Second Streets through late June. He said National Guard armories are important for training, staging, and equipment storage. The addition or construction of new armories or the divestiture of armories like the Champaign Armory is an ongoing process that ensures Illinois National Guard soldiers have modern platforms to support the training and functions of the unit while being strategically placed throughout the state to support local authorities when needed. Construction of the Art Moderne-style armory was a Great Depression-era project of the Works Progress Administration. The Urbana Armory was among the 13 WPA armories built around the state. Construction began on the Champaign Armory in April 1937, and the facility was dedicated in June 1939. It cost $225,000 to build, about $5.1 million in today's dollars, according to a historic property inventory from the Preservation and Conservation Association. The notice said potential bidders may contact Kevin Little at 217-761-3601 to schedule an appointment to view the property or find out more about it. Bids are due by 4 p.m. June 25. Again, potential bidders on the armory can call Kevin Little, 217-761-3601, to schedule an appointment to view the property or find out more about it. Next reader question, what happened to Apricot Lane Boutique? Did they close or just move to a new location? Half my wardrobe came from there. Kathy replies that owner Stephanie Williams closed her Champaign store April 30, and Guff & Associates has put a for-lease sign in the window of the former boutique at 1005 South Neal Street in Champaign. A post on the Champaign store's Facebook page referred local customers to the location at 206 West North Street in Normal for all the styles and brands you have come to know and love. This isn't goodbye, it's just finding each other. Another recent post said the Champaign store's social media accounts will soon be closed, but that the boutique will hold pop-up sales from time to time in Champaign-Urbana. On the sixth floor of OSF Heart of Mary Hospital in Urbana, south side, there are two rooms where metal louvers have replaced a large window pane. Are these some kind of special rooms? OSF spokesman Tim Dittman said those are reverse isolation rooms reserved for people who have contagious illnesses such as COVID-19 or tuberculosis. As he explained it to me, the rooms are specially designed to prevent airborne illnesses from getting in and out. What the reader saw on the outside of the building helps with that. And finally, a reader writes, it was such a treat to see Rudy Frasca flying around in his vintage Warbirds back in the day. What became of the planes after Rudy died? Peggy Pritchard, one of Rudy's children, told me the family still owns and maintains several World War II aircraft at their airport in Urbana. The family does pull out vintage aircraft on Veterans Day and for special events held at the airport, and the Frasca boys still fly the Warbirds around the area during the summer months. We sold Frasca International in 2021, but still own the airport and the airplane collection. My brother John still runs the flight simulator company. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Saturday, May 17 and Sunday, May 18. Please stay tuned.